I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
I like that. Hey, we're back with you live on a Wednesday. Jim Dunaway, Lance Taylor, Ryan Brown, Rockstar, and Laurel producing the show behind the big glass. I apologize to baseball. All you people looking for a storyline, wanting to see the Astros break the Cleveland Indians streak of consecutive wins, and the Tampa Bay Rays, the powerful Tampa Bay Rays, shut down Justin Verlander last night 2-1 to end the streak.
You know who called that, don't you?
Who?
He's sitting to your left.
Lance had the lock there.
No, it wasn't the lock, but you called it on the show.
Had the Angels as the lock, but said if there was going to be an opportunity for the Astros based on what they were playing over the next 10 days to actually get a loss, because they had an opportunity to run off 20 straight. I said Blake Snell's a guy that could actually shut him down.
And he did shut him down, but here's the problem. Verlander pitches great, and they lose 2-1. And why? Well, I mean, it's not universal. It doesn't happen all the time. But many times you see teams, whether it's college baseball or Major League Baseball, you get one pitcher who is a stud pitcher, and for whatever – Clayton Kershaw was this guy for years – When your ace is on the hill and he is dealing bullets up there and holding teams to one run, two runs, shutouts, you get no run support.
I'll give you an example. Chris Sale, who's one of the best in the bigs.
Yes.
He's now got six games in which he's given up two or fewer runs, and he hasn't gotten the win. He's 6-4 with a 2.74 ERA.
The reason we were discussing that game yesterday, Dunaway, because that is a random game for us to discuss, Houston and Tampa, was the fact that Houston had played in that 12-game stretch nobody with a winning record. And did you know that they are not until July 20th going to play a team that currently has a winning record? So that's what Lance was saying, is they got a chance to reel off a bunch of wins right here.
They do, and that's good for their division because their division is rock solid this year. That Houston, Seattle, LA Angel division is really good baseball. It ends last night for the Astros. Still a really talented team. Their pitching staff is so, so good. The phenomenon of just ace pitchers out there, why do you think that happens? What happens to the offense? Because you'll see rat pitcher go out there and give five, six runs up, and the team scores eight.
I don't know, Dunaway. It's like maybe they get lulled to sleep just watching the greatness of their ace go out there and actually shut down teams, and you just don't feel the pressure to score the runs.
It's got to be mindset going in, right, that if I'm starting a guy, let's say a guy making his first major league start, if I'm a player on that team, I'm thinking we're going to get some runs for this kid, right? We don't want to hang him out to dry. But if I'm playing behind Verlander or Max Scherzer, like Lance said, maybe there's a comfort zone of, hey, you know what? Two runs probably wins this game for us tonight.
Crazy to see it happen last night that way to a team like Tampa, but 2-1 is the way it goes. Atlanta with another win last night. Braves over the Jays. The Blue Jays 11-4. Up in Toronto, a getaway game today at 11:37 when the 3-0 Anibal Sanchez pitches for the Braves before they get out of town, take a day off in Baltimore, be careful guys, and then play the Orioles over the weekend. So that's what's happening in Major League Baseball. College World Series was a good day for the SEC. They had two wins and a rainout yesterday. Rain a problem in Omaha this time of year. There's debate at times about moving that to a domed Major League Baseball stadium. Back when Rosenblatt Stadium was old and run down, there was other cities trying to bid to lure it out of Omaha. They stepped up, built this state-of-the-art stadium, but it's not a covered stadium, and dealing with the rain is always going to be an issue schedule-wise, and they're behind the eight ball a little bit right now. They'll try to play catch-up over the next couple of days. But Arkansas, Texas Tech in the winner's bracket postponed last night. They go at 11 today. But a big win from Florida to stay alive, and a big win from Mississippi State as they now get 2 days off. They're unbeaten, and State, that Cinderella team, it continues on with a 12-2 domination of North Carolina.
Let me ask you a random question about Omaha. That is a standalone city for a standalone event. Do we have anything else like that outside of majors in golf like Augusta?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I don't think anyone will ever get the College World Series outside of Omaha. Would you guys agree?
No. I mean, they do it so well. I don't know where else you would take it, because it would lose all of its
Never heard a complaint.
I mean, it lost some of its collegiate feel going to the new stadium. Like, the old Rosenblatt had a more collegiate feel to it.
It really did, and it was an old, rundown stadium, but I liked it when I went there. I have not been to the new one.
I mean, I'm sure the new stadium's spectacular. Yeah,
but it looks very, generic.
Yeah, it looks very pro.
Yeah.
I can't think of one, Lance. I mean, the Masters is unique in that a little town in Georgia hosts one of the biggest sporting events every year.
I mean, Bonnaroo, a music festival out in the middle of a pasture in Tennessee, right? Is it even near? Where do they do Bonnaroo, Rockstar? Is it even near the sticks?
It's in Tennessee.
I know it's in.
She says now. Laurel says outside.
Well, she's been, right? Laurel's been to Bonnaroo.
Yeah, but how far outside of Nashville?
Field, and it's far enough where you don't have hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Camp.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I mean, it's out in the woods, and people go there. I mean, they get a great attendance for that every year.
It is in Manchester, Tennessee. Bonnaroo is.
Yeah, but we don't have a sporting event like that outside of Augusta.
Yeah, I'm running through my head.
I mean, I guess you could go bowl games.
Yeah, but not the big ones are in big cities. Primarily, right?
Yeah. I mean, even the small ones are, though, really.
Yeah.
Boy, I can't think of another one like Omaha that's in a standalone city.
Boy, Manchester is out in the middle of nowhere. Laurel is right.
Shreveport, you know, for the old Poulon Weed Eater in the day.
That's a big one.
Why else would you go to Shreveport, right?
Do you remember back in the day?
Some people would say the Birmingham Bowl. Why else would you go to Birmingham? True.
Do you remember back in the day? I don't know if you guys will remember this, but the original aluminum bat that most kids used was the Tennessee Thumper.
Yeah.
You guys remember that?
I do.
And it was manufactured in Tullahoma, Tennessee.
Tullahoma.
Which is right next door to Manchester, where Bonnaroo is. It's on I-24, right between Nashville and Chattanooga. So when you're going up to Chattanooga, like if you're going up to Knoxville and that 24 split.
You hang a left?
Yeah, you hang a left instead of going towards Chattanooga.
So how far outside of Nashville?
Oh, it's a good, looks like an hour. I don't know how far it is from Chattanooga to Nashville, but it's about halfway.
Chris up early with us on Twitter says Talladega.
That's true.
Yeah.
You get two events a year. That's sort of between here and Atlanta. And after our sprint, I don't know. Says Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good call right there.
Good call.
That's in the middle of nowhere, isn't it?
Way to go, Merrill. Very good there. So that's the World Series going on. But for Mississippi State, it was a big step forward yesterday with Jordan Westberg. Grand slam, 7 RBIs in the game for him. He was a stud 2 days off. They're unbeaten in the winner's bracket. Just, I think, a win away from making it into the championship series. Florida 6-1 over Texas. They get a big pitching performance from Jackson Cower, who had 13 strikeouts. Florida continues to battle their way out of the loser's bracket. Today, Arkansas, Texas Tech, 11 a.m. on ESPN2. Both those teams still unbeaten. 6:08, big news in college football yesterday. Lincoln Riley got a contract extension. We'll jump into different, facets of this later on. But when you make it to the college football playoffs in your first year, you probably deserve a raise, right? Wasn't a monumental raise. He's got a 5-year contract. It rolls over another year through 2023. He's going to make $25 million over that, basically $5 million a year. He'll make slightly more than his starting quarterback this year. That seemed to be an important headline to get rid of. But Lincoln Riley deserves that contract, right?
He does deserve it. I mean, based on where we are right now in college football, and I would like to ask you guys this, and maybe we can get to it next segment or whenever we want to, is Lincoln Riley right now viewed as the best coach of the Big 12?
Ooh, that is a good question. I want to think about that one.
Okay, we'll do that when we come back. Best coach in the Big 12, is it the young Lincoln Riley?
But here's the thing on the contract, Dunaway. I guess this is a great problem to have. But if you are Oklahoma, you want to give this guy, I mean, he seems like he deserves a big-time contract, right? He passed the test year one. However, is that the coach you have in Lincoln Riley? Do you even know that right now?
You know, Brown, I see what you're saying. I kind of hold back on this because I want to see what life is like after Baker Mayfield.
See, I do too.
Yeah, and Riley, quarterback.
He already made a ton of money based on the early retirement of Bob Stoops last year. I mean, he was making $3.1 million.
But if you're an AD, how do you handle this? Because the question is going to be,
play it.
Well, I mean, but the question is going to be asked, why did he not get an extension? Do you not have faith in Lincoln Riley?
No, we're working on that.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see a little more Lincoln Riley. Now, I don't know what the buyout looks like because that's the key. I mean, if you're Oklahoma, paying a guy $5 million a year isn't that big of a stretch. You got plenty of money. Did he get a really sweet buyout in this? Because that's what happens to guys like Gene Chizik. You know, year two, Chizik takes a team to the championship. He gets a nice contract, but what he got that was really nice in that contract was a buyout. And guess what? You had to exercise it in 2 years. You know, Terry Bowden, after his first year, they tore his contract up at Auburn and gave him a sweet deal. Guess what? You had to exercise. I keep going to Auburn coaches, I know, but I mean, that's the way it works.
I'm not surprised where we are dollar-wise for these coaches because it is a billion-dollar industry. I am surprised at how quick you can get there, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Lincoln Riley, to be in his second year, to already get a five-year, $25 million contract. Look, and he had a great season last year, and this is one of the young, innovative minds in college football, and he's only 35 years old, and you want to be able to lock this guy down. But to be already rewarded with 5 years, $25 million, that's a lot.
Seems quick, but it also seems like he painted you in this corner by taking you to the Rose Bowl and taking you within a play of the national championship game in his first.
Congratulations to the Barons hosting the Southern League All-Star Game last night. 8,500, a sellout of tickets, and a great crowd on hand yesterday, last night, for the Southern League All-Star Game, passing all the Birmingham Southern League All-Star records that we've had in the modern baseball era. So congratulations to Jonathan Nelson and the folks down there with the Barons last night hosting the Stars, and including Mr. Rookie was out there, the pitcher, whose name slips my mind right now.
What franchise is he part of, Jeff?
He played Jim Morris.
Oh, Dennis Quaid.
I came to me as you were saying it.
Wait, Dennis Quaid was actually?
Yeah, he threw out the first pitch.
Wow.
How about that?
What was the connection there? Do we know? Did they just invite him?
Well, he was the rookie.
That was like a decade ago.
Henry Rowengardner from Rookie of the Year's throwing pitches everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I would tell you, Dennis Quaid, his career has hit rock bottom.
Oh, has it? Because he's throwing out the first pitch?
He's throwing out the first pitch at a double-A game? Yeah.
I bet he's got a baseball movie coming out. When you think?
Well, he's about to be playing a manager. It was a stretch when he was the rookie.
Better be Moneyball, too.
That's luck.
You know, the last time we talked about him on the show was when he had that stage blow-up on set.
Funny or Die. It was fantastic because I remember I fell for it because they didn't release the real video until like 2 or 3 days later.
Oh, it was a fake video?
Well, him melting down on the set, just yelling at people for having babies and just going off on them.
He was a borderline A actor for a while.
He is currently...
Borderline? He wasn't A actor? Don't go borderline.
Well, you give me some of his great roles. I mean, Interspace. He was in the poor man's Wyatt Earp.
Interspace.
DOA.
No, what's the...
He was a police officer.
Enemy Mine.
He was a police officer.
Oh, yeah, he was Gus Jr.
He was a police officer in some New Orleans movie.
Postcards from the Edge. He's done a lot of just...
Was he in Breaking Away?
He wasn't Breaking Away. That was probably his best role.
Okay. Now we're getting there, right?
I don't think you're going to go A-list. I don't think you'd go Dennis Quaid A-list. I think Dennis Quaid is a solid B-list.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I said he was borderline. He almost got there.
Well, let's go. Is this a good Dreamland poll, Laurel?
Do you rather have his career or his brother's?
That's what I was going to say. Better career. Let's do that. Dreamland barbecue poll. Better career, Randy Quaid or Dennis Quaid?
I think Randy might have been in the overall better movies.
Oh, I think Randy's had a better career.
In these B-movies, he was at least the lead guy.
Randy got the looks, too.
Wow. It is amazing those two came from the same womb.
Okay,
Did they?
IMBD? Yes. Is that... That's Kevin Costner.
That's Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner.
That's
that new
show that's coming out.
Oh, that's advertisement. I was like, oh, my goodness.
I forgot he was in Traffic. He was the greedy attorney. But, I mean, that was just a small role. That was probably the best film he's ever been in.
He was in Frequency?
No, that's a terrible movie. Yeah, do you remember
so
that?
Hokey.
You remember the storyline that way?
So hokey. Where him and his dad talk through a transistor radio.
And then there's a time travel element in it, and he's got to make it.
Dunaway cried.
Yeah.
Frequency. I didn't see it.
It's an awful movie.
I was about to say before you told me the storyline, when you said, what is the storyline of that movie? I was going to say, is that where they had to dig holes out in the yard and bury stuff? There's some movie where they had to dig holes everywhere.
I think that's called Holes.
Is it called Holes?
A children's book with that.
Yeah.
Louis Sicar was by Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf and Sigourney Weaver. Okay, so Wyatt Earp.
Any Given Sunday?
I've never seen it.
Oh, I think it's terrible.
He was the starting quarterback that Stephen Willie Beeman filled in for.
The remake of The Parent Trap. He was fantastic in that. I saw that.
Okay, so Wyatt Earp came out right after Tombstone.
Right.
And he played Doc Holliday. And they said that you can look this up. He ate lettuce for like 3 or 4 months to lose all this weight. He lost like 40 pounds.
He played the great Jerry Lee Lewis in Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
And that is an underrated funny movie.
Winona Ryder played his cousin that he married.
Yep, his 13-year-old cousin that he married.
Everybody's All-American, which he played basically Billy Cannon.
Exactly. He was the guy in that. Yeah. We talked about that the other day. We're back in the 80s now. Interspace.
Interspace was fantastic. I loved it.
The Big Easy.
That's the one you're talking about, New Orleans.
Yeah. Remy.
Now, let me say this. Let me say this.
Jaws 3D. Do you guys go see that at the theater?
I did not.
I did not.
He was the lead.
I remember Jaws 3D was a big deal, though.
Louis Gossett was in that one, too.
And he had some teeny tiny shorts on. Quaid did.
Now, let me say this, though, real quick.
He was in Stripes.
Oh, Cody says, is Dennis Quaid the Dan Mullen of actors?
That's a pretty good comparison, but he never got the opportunity. Well.
Then I think that's what he's saying. If you'd ever given him a good role, what would he have done with it?
You know, some of those early, The Long Riders was a great film. Those are back in the 70s.
Now, I will say this. Dennis Quaid was just in, it's a movie called I Can Only Imagine. I have yet to see it, but it's made by some friends of mine, the Irwin brothers here in Birmingham. You guys know them, right? They did Woodlawn.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And they told me, Andy told me, one of the Irwin brothers, that he was amazing to work with. He was great, could not have asked for anything better. So I do think, I mean, like that whole thing was a hoax, right? Him going off on the...
Yeah, it was a Funny or Die skit that they didn't release.
Right.
They just showed him going off, and then they showed the setup of how they're going to do it. So like, this is him blowing up on people.
I do think, especially as actors go, that he's probably a pretty good guy, Lance.
Yeah, I think he liked to have a lot of fun. You know, he was married to Meg Ryan for a while, and he couldn't keep it at home.
Yeah.
I mean, he had way too much fun on set is what, you know, the word was, and she finally, I guess she left him, he left her.
Is that when she started emailing Tom Hanks?
They met in that bookstore.
Yeah. No, but her payback was supposed to be when she was on set with Russell Crowe for Proof of Life.
Yeah,
that's where she said she got him back.
Meanwhile, Randy Quaid, Brokeback Mountain, Kingpin, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and the original Vacation.
And Days of Thunder?
And Midnight Express. He's been in a lot of
them. Randy Quaid's going to win
this poll. Randy, took one for the country.
Yep, Randy Quaid will win this poll. He's had the better career.
No, he has not had the better career.
Yeah, he has.
He's been in the better films. That doesn't make it better career.
I mean, how do you define career then,
Well,
Lance?
You could go, I mean, as you can look at a head coach. You could look at a guy that's been an assistant on great teams.
Okay, if Dennis Quaid's Dan Mullen, Randy Quaid is, he's Mike Leach. Right?
Randy Quaid would be more of...
You're just saying Mike Leach because Randy Quaid played Cousin Eddie, who is crazy, and Mike Leach is sort of crazy. That's the only reason you went Mike Leach.
There is a little bit of
I'll
that.
Call you out.
You they kind of look alike, don't they? Randy Quaid and Mike Leach kind of look alike.
I'm going to say this is more of a Norv Turner career for Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid's had a better career than Norv. Norv Turner's been an NFL head coach like three times, hasn't
right.
he?
And he's been
never successful.
More of a glorified assistant. I mean, he's Randy Quaid's a character actor.
Yeah, but Randy Quaid loses points for being in Caddyshack 2. I would agree. That's a deduction.
Yeah.
You should have seen that script and said, I'm not going to put my name on
Caddyshack
that.
Caddyshack 2 was maybe the worst sequel in the history of sequels.
The Slugger's Wife, is that about the Atlanta Braves?
Yeah, that was Michael O'Keefe.
Yes.
Played the Slugger, and he was the big meathead first baseman, Moose.
Did you disagree with me on the worst sequel ever made, Rockstar?
Oh, there's so many.
But Caddyshack 2 was awful.
Oh, it was
Jaws
bad.
3's right there.
But I'm talking literal sequel. I mean,
you don't think Godfather 3 is one of the worst ever?
It is, but I'm talking about the second one. I'm just talking about the number two, like your second shot at it.
Isn't it funny? And we'll do the Lincoln Riley story coming up in a little bit, next segment. Isn't it funny that when actors start out, they have this I'm going to be this serious actor. Randy Quaid was in The Last Picture Show.
Yeah.
So he probably in 1971, which is
it was up for Best Picture. I don't think it won Best Picture that year, but I know it was up
but
for
But you're
Best
saying
Picture.
It was a serious role, and so he probably thought at that point.
Yeah, in 1971, he was like, yes, I'm going to be in movies like this where I'm in a tux once a year,
right.
And we're debating whether or not our film is going to be best film.
Well,
and
I mean,
he goes from The Last Picture Show.
Yeah, but he Paper Moon was big time,
That's
too.
That's what I'm saying, Paper Moon, and then all of a sudden, a few years later, he's in Caddyshack 2, National Lampoon Christmas Vacation. At some point, he was like,
"I'll take a check."
Ooh, I'm gonna take the money.
I mean, but
well,
you
turn into a Kramer, you typecast.
Yeah, do you blame him though?
No.
I mean, I guarantee you, he makes money to this day off Christmas Vacation, doesn't he?
Oh, 100%.
How much money do you think he's making off Paper Moon? I mean, I bet the check from Christmas Vacation dwarfs the check from that first one you mentioned that was up for Best Picture. If he even gets a check for that still.
Yeah, I don't know if that was, I don't know if residuals were actually in effect.
Yeah,
back
but
then.
Boy, if he's getting residuals on Christmas Vacation, how often does that thing air around the holidays? My gosh, he's making a fortune off that movie.
25 After on the Jocks Roundtable. Part of the show today, including our movie reviews, are brought to you by
Circle K. Come into Circle K this summer. Choose your favorite flavor and fill up a Polar Pop Cup or Frozen Froster. Any size, only 79 cents every day, only at Circle K.
D. Will says Randy Quaid is David Shaw from Stanford.
Ooh,
that's an insult to David Shaw.
Well, I mean,
Randy Quaid's not a head coach.
Were you saying Dennis is, though? He's Dan Mullen?
I mean, the only movie I remember Randy Quaid being the lead in was that movie Dead Solid Perfect, an HBO golf movie. Do you guys remember?
I do remember Dead Solid Perfect. Yep.
Oh, Trey says, was Randy Quaid the crazy guy in Independence Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's a step forward, Laurel.
Oh, took one for the team. No, that's three steps back.
Terrible movie.
Independence Day?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, Dunaway, you can't like
one
that movie.
The greatest speeches of all time from any president.
Oh, you know what? I'm getting confused.
I know
here.
You are.
Independence Day in Philadelphia. I saw somebody.
I bet when you bought that ticket.
Yeah.
When does he get AIDS?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You confused Independence Day.
No, not Independence Day. Independence Day, I got confused.
Born on the 4th of July.
Born on the 4th of July for a second, yes.
When does he go to Vietnam?
I rewatched Philadelphia again the other night for the first time since 1993 when it came out. That is such a depressing film.
What, Born on the 4th of July?
No. Well, I'm sure it is too, but
Philadelphia.
When you guys say movies, I always picture a scene or the movie poster in my head. And when y'all said Independence Day,
I thought Born on the 4th of July. Yeah.
Tom Cruise in a wheelchair was the picture in my head. I was like, oh, crazy. That's probably a serious role for Randy Quaid.
No. Independence Day, nothing like that.
Randy Quaid is the Kevin Still of acting. Oh, that may be close.
Yeah, I could see that a little bit. He still had his shot as a head guy at Baylor.
You know my favorite part about these segments is people that tune in late and they think Randy Quaid has just passed away.
Yeah,
God rest his soul.
Is that going to shock anyone?
I think he's got a legitimately crazy wife.
Yeah, Dennis in town last night, which is how we got on this, for the Southern League All-Star Game. All this started.
Yeah, and I could have seen Randy throw out the first pitch. I'm really surprised Dennis did.
All this started with a compliment of the Barons for selling out the Southern League All-Star Game last night.
Hey, see what Drew said. Look right there.
Drew, Dennis' net worth, $40 million. Randy's net worth, $1
million. Okay. Game over. Game, set, match right there.
I'm just talking about, that's easy. I'm just talking about movie career. If you go blind resume and say, which of these two resumes do you want? Yeah, I think it's going to be Randy's.
But then you could say Kevin Bacon's resume is better than, I don't know, who's...
You pick one. He's got a heck of a resume.
Gary Sinise.
I would take Kevin Bacon over Gary Sinise.
Yeah, I would too. But my point was going to be Kevin Bacon's been in some really good films.
Randy Quaid is Bud Foster, says Brent.
Bud Foster coached the Vikings?
Oh, how about this?
He's the Kevin defensive coordinator of
Virginia Tech. I was thinking of Bud Grant, right? Yeah.
Listen, we only need one of me on the show.
Kevin Bacon or George Clooney? I mean, George Clooney's more accomplished actor.
That's not even close, Lance. George Clooney. It's not even close.
Yeah, but Kevin Bacon's been in better films, if you do the collection.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon.
You would take Kevin Bacon's career over George Clooney?
No, I would take George Clooney's. I'm saying George Clooney's.
But you take TV away from George Clooney. Wasn't he on...
He's on Roseanne.
He's a doctor in ER.
Yeah, he was on ER. That's where he got his big jump, was ER.
Facts of Life, I think, was the first one.
Yeah, he was in that.
No, but I'm saying George Clooney's a lead guy. I mean, he's one of your top 10 coaches. And you look at a guy like Kevin Bacon, I mean, he's more of the assistant that's been in a ton of good movies. I mean, he was a lead guy back in the 80s, like for Footloose and things. Not a look you want.
It's a look like you just don't care, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And Todd says Randy Quaid is the Mike Price comparison when acting to coaching. Had fun at Washington State as Cousin Eddie. Got his big break at Alabama, but crashed his Independence Day crop duster.
You guys want to guess where he went to school?
Who?
Randy Quaid?
Yeah.
Where? Washington State?
AAC school.
An AAC school? Yeah. Temple.
Cincinnati.
University of Houston.
Oh, he's a Cougar.
Cougar up. 52 after. Lincoln Riley is the head coach at Oklahoma. Got his contract extension yesterday. Is basically making $5 million a year now through 2023. Is he the best coach in the Big 12?
Well, you know, I think if you're drafting coaches today, Dunaway, I think people would go one of two ways. They would go either Tom Herman or they would go with Lincoln Riley. I think you got to say Gary Patterson is the best coach based on what he's done at TCU.
Agreed.
Thank you. Yeah, we always forget Gary Patterson.
I know. And I wondered if he would get forgotten. That's who I was going to say. Based on career accomplishment.
I think you would go Patterson and Snyder would be one, too.
Yeah, and obviously Lincoln Riley has coached 1 year and Bill Snyder's coached 1,000 years, so it's hard to compare careers of those two. But I would even go career accomplishment, Lance, Gary Patterson in front of Bill Snyder.
That's close. I don't know.
Well, I mean, There is, you got to grade it on a curve a little bit. Bill Snyder is coaching a historically horrific program and has done big things with them. But Gary Patterson has been really consistent at we go A-list, B-list actors. TCU at best is a B-list job, isn't it?
Yeah, but TCU at least had some success before Gary Patterson. They had won a national championship. And you look at Kansas State, this was viewed as the worst program in Division I football. And Bill Snyder had them within a game twice, two different seasons of playing for a national championship.
Okay, that's back in the 90s, though. Long time ago.
No, this was 5-6 years ago Kansas State was within a game.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They played a Fiesta Bowl.
Well, they had that one season where they should have been in the BCS championship.
Yeah, that was 1998.
Okay, and then, more recently you said 5 or 6 years
ago.
Yeah,
so in 2013, I think when Auburn made, 2012 when Alabama played Notre Dame, that was the year of Colin Klein, and I think Kansas State was a 1 or 2 loss regular season team.
I'll have it right here for you. That was 11-2 in 2012, 8-1 in conference, lost the Fiesta Bowl, finished 11th in the country.
So they're a one loss team, lost their bowl game.
Yep.
Okay, so they could have been there if Alabama wasn't there, I guess.
Yeah.
But Kansas State, to me, Bill Snyder is fourth on this list. I put him behind Gary Patterson. I put him behind Tom Herman. I put him behind Lincoln Riley.
I would take Herman or Riley in front of Snyder, obviously.
Right.
But Snyder, to me, is still the second best coach or first. I could go Patterson or Snyder.
But right now, you can't judge who's the best coach in the Big 12 over career accomplishments. You got to go right now because Lincoln Riley's career is 2 games. Of the guys who are coaching right now, who would you want to coach your team? And I'm sorry, Bill Snyder is not in
that mix. No, he's not. No, if I'm hiring a coach right now.
Yeah.
But
forget age or anything, just to coach one season, you don't go Bill Snyder. You go either Lincoln Riley, Tom Herman, Gary Patterson, or someone else. You don't go Bill Snyder.
But with respect to Tom Herman, what has he done to be on that list? What has he done?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you just saying that
because
he's the Texas coach?
No, I'm saying that because I thought he was really good at Ohio State. He wasn't bad at Houston. And with what he inherited at Texas, it wasn't a disaster last year.
Yeah, I'm still buying the upside of Tom Herman.
I
think this is a big year, though.
I know he hasn't won a national championship, and he lost some games he shouldn't have lost at Houston, but he won the games that some people said he shouldn't have won at Houston.
He took a playoff team that finished outside the top 25. That's hard for me to forget.
Here we go. Dak Prescott, rock star. This is the Cowboys quarterback, former Mississippi State quarterback. He thinks his Cowboy team is a bunch of unknowns this year. They don't have the star power. You take away Dak and Zeke, and all of a sudden their tight end's not there. Witten's gone. Dez Bryant's gone. But he thinks a bunch of no-name Cowboys could make a run to the playoffs.
People don't know a lot about our team, and that's the fun part about it, and that's exciting for us. So we're going to have a lot of new faces, a lot of guys that can play, but they'll get the opportunity and hopefully make a name for themselves and maybe surprise people in the way of doing that.
That gets us to our conversation, these no-name Cowboys of being a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. Can they make the playoffs? And LT, you've got some stats for us that basically the transition in the NFL, the turnover in the NFL is pretty mind-boggling when you think about it.
Well, you think about the Cowboys 13-3 2 years ago in Dak's rookie season, and then they completely fall apart last year. And you talk about the no-names. You've still got arguably the best offensive line, so a lot of people will know some of those names up front. But your wide receivers right now,
ooh,
Allen Hurns, Terrence Williams, Michael Gallup, Cole Beasley. You're starting tight end, Jeff Swaim.
Yeah, I don't know how Prescott throws the ball effectively without a Dez Bryant-type receiver.
That sounds bad for the Cowboys, doesn't it?
It really does. I don't know how elite. Tom Brady has done it without a bunch of elite receivers, right? He had Randy Moss once. That's obviously the most elite he had. But he's done it with the Amendolas of the world and the Branches of the world, Deion Branch and people like that. Dak Prescott's not Tom Brady. And Lance, I just don't know how open these guys are going to be.
Yeah, and I think Dak Prescott more year two than year one.
Yeah.
At least for me. That's what I believed after watching him last year. We'll see how it pans out. But you don't have playmakers, or at least on paper you don't have playmakers. You got Zeke Elliott. They went and got Tavon Austin. I know people have been raving about him behind the scenes. But as a Rams fan, He showed some flashes. I just don't think consistently he can be one of the big-time playmakers for the Dallas Cowboys.
If you're new to our show, every year LT gives me the opportunity. I'm blessed with the opportunity to try to pick eight playoff teams because I made an ignorant statement on the show years ago, no surprise to a lot of you, where I said it seems like the NFL is really predictable, that it would be easy to pick eight of the 12 playoff teams every year. I know you give me the stats that the flip around, the turnover is pretty high, but I said years ago, and we've done this every year, I can pick eight playoff teams of the 12 every year, and we do a state bet where I've got to get all eight right. If I pick a team that doesn't make the playoffs,
well, every year
I lose.
It sounds pretty good on paper what you do, and just those numbers that you asked me about, and I kind of got sidetracked. Every year since the NFL went to a 12-team playoff format in 1990, there have been at least four teams that made the playoffs after missing the previous year. You look at last year, there were eight new playoff teams in 2017.
So every year there's at least four.
At least four.
I would say your average turnover is somewhere in the neighborhood of 50.
That's 27 years, by
50%.
The way.
50%. Wow. I'd say that's your average is 50%. When you say that, Lance?
I thought the Eagles would win the East last year. They were 7-9 the year before, but this is a team that went from 7-9 to winning the Super Bowl. I don't think you had the Eagles last year.
I don't think he did. I think he probably went Cowboys again.
Because of Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I did go Cowboys.
Yep.
I remember going Cowboys last year. And I went Tampa Bay last year.
You did go Tampa, yep.
Because Tampa was sexy last year. Give me the teams that ESPN thinks were non-playoff teams that'll be back into the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know if this will help you or not.
No, I'm not going to change my list.
Yeah, he's written down.
Okay. I'm not going to change it.
I agree with number one on this list, the Houston Texans.
With Deshaun Watson healthy, you think Texans are not in the playoffs? They will be back in the playoffs.
In six starts, his last five starts, they averaged 33 points per game. And this is a team that was 500 with him as starting quarterback. They were 1-8 after he suffered the ACL.
My concern there is Jacksonville and Tennessee in that division, I think, are better teams. I think.
No, I hope you have Tennessee on your list. They ain't going to the playoffs. Number two on the list, the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers breaks his collarbone in week six. After Aaron Rodgers goes down, Green Bay really has no shot.
But still a 7-9 team, Dunaway. I mean, barely out of the playoffs without Aaron Rodgers.
I know, but Aaron Rodgers now has missed games a couple of times in his career. He's up in age, and no Jordy Nelson. And how disgruntled is Aaron Rodgers with that situation?
I agree with the top three of their five. Number three on this list, the Chargers. Remember, before the season, I had them in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
It's a team that started 0-4.
All because of their kicker, basically.
But they won nine of their last 12 games, barely missed playoffs going 9-7.
Yeah, they were hot at the end of the year.
They've got the Ravens on here. They were 9-7. They gave up that 49-yard touchdown pass with less than a minute to go to Cincinnati to actually get bumped out of the playoffs, and Buffalo was in. And number five on the list, San Francisco. And I think most people are going to be on San Francisco's bandwagon.
Yeah, 49ers this year is last year's Tampa Bay.
Garoppolo's undefeated as starting quarterback in the NFL.
He is. Apparently, he had a horrible mandatory camp that they couldn't do anything right. That's an interesting list. And that's it on the list?
Well, they've got their five that they think will drop off. So those are the five they think will return to the playoffs. The five teams that drop out of the playoffs, they think Carolina is the most likely to drop out, with the Tennessee Titans, the Buffalo Bills, which I would vote Buffalo.
Barely made it. I mean, you said, it took a crazy play from Cincinnati just to get Buffalo in.
Kansas City, I don't have a ton of confidence in Patrick Mahomes. I know the organization, they absolutely love him, but I thought Alex Smith was about as steady as you get in the NFL, and now you go to Mahomes, and we'll see what he's able to do. He's only 22 years old. You lose your best cornerback in Marcus Peters. I just don't think Kansas City is going to be as good as they have been the last couple of years, and they've got the Falcons on this list. Find it kind of a stretch to believe the Falcons wouldn't be in the postseason, but we'll see.
They've got the Falcons not making the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, again, they took Carolina and the Falcons out, is what ESPN did. So that means they got a ton of faith, obviously, in the Saints, right? I mean, if you're going to...
Not Tampa.
I wouldn't think it's Tampa.
Okay, here's my eight teams that I think will make the playoffs. And we put a stake on this. Our stake bet's brought to you by our friends at Royal Betting, right there on Highway 31 in Pelham, royalbettinginc.com. They provide Rockstar a pretty cool pillow.
It is actually a cool pillow. Royal Betting in Pelham is your local store for the new All Cool Pillows. 5-star internet ratings, but at Royal Betting, prices are lower than the internet. All night comfort with the All Cool Pillows at Royal Betting.
I like all of his NFC. I like half of his AFC.
Okay, Dunaway, the good news is you've got to pick eight. There is one give me every single year, though.
One give me? What does that mean?
Well, the New England Patriots.
The Patriots.
So it's really seven.
Okay, here is, I'll go NFC first.
All right.
The world champion Philadelphia Eagles. I'll take them making back to the playoffs. At least they will get there.
I don't blame you. It would be hard to believe they win the Super Bowl and then fall out of the postseason.
The Minnesota Vikings will be in the playoffs.
I would agree.
Such a good team. A turnstile at quarterback last year, and it didn't really matter. They were still in the NFC Championship game.
The Atlanta Falcons, I believe, will be in the playoffs. The first one on their no list on ESPN for me.
I'm with you on that one. I think your NFC.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
And I go with the Green Bay Packers. Just because of their division, I don't think the Bears are ready to step up. I think the Lions are trending in a bad direction. Minnesota will be there. I think the Packers will be the wild card.
Is that all your NFC?
That's all my NFC.
Nice.
Yeah, I left your Rams off this year. I did not jinx your Rams.
But
the first team I scratched out.
Of the NFC?
Of the NFC that did not make my list, the New York Giants. I think the Giants bounce back, have a big year, and could win their division.
They were 3-13, Dunaway.
I have no confidence in the offensive line. Eli Manning is so old now. I mean, they could, but.
Gut feeling. That's why it's a turnover, but I did not put them. So Green Bay, Atlanta, Philadelphia, and Minnesota are my only NFC teams.
I feel good about those four teams for you, though.
But see, in the past, I have gone so many of one division.
Yeah.
That I've gone, I've almost had to get the entire playoffs right. So I went 4-4 this time.
Yeah, I've seen you go 6-2 before.
Yeah. In the AFC, I went with the New England Patriots.
That's a shot.
That's your layup.
I went with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I like that pick.
Why wouldn't you?
I went with the LA Chargers.
I like it.
Okay, so you like my seven so far.
Here it comes.
The one that could cost me the stake.
The one Lance has already said he doesn't like.
The Tennessee Titans. That's going to be one that cost me a stake.
I think that will cost you the stake.
Because you like the Texans and the Jaguars better than the Titans.
And Vrabel, I like Vrabel. How good of a head coach is he going to be in year one? Is he really going to take them to the postseason? Mariota's been up and down. I don't think the Titans will be there.
First scratch off of that was Oakland's Raiders for me.
I don't like the Raiders either.
No, I think they got a roster to bounce back.
I think you did really good 1-7, though.
All right, so those are my eight. Packers, Falcons, Eagles, Vikings, Patriots, Steelers, Chargers, and Titans. If you're a fan of those teams, then you know I've landmined at least one of those teams right there.
Absolutely.
Scoobs is on a cell phone. Hey, Scoobs, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Great, man.
I got a couple of questions. I wasn't able to call in yesterday. I got busy at work. So I kind of have like a variety. I just want to know if you want to start with NBA or college football.
You just roll through them, and we'll answer them on rapid fire here.
If you're an NBA franchise, how concerned are you with drafting Michael Porter Jr.? That's my first one.
Well, I saw last night where the reports are now that he may take a quote-unquote red shirt season like Ben Simmons did to get 100% healthy. So how concerned are you for the draft tomorrow night with him?
Well, with those comments, that makes me really concerned. You know, he came back at the end of last year after playing just 7 minutes at the beginning of the year. You know, anytime you're talking about a back, there's always concern there. Now people are talking about the hip. I think if he's on the court, if he's healthy, I think he's going to be a tremendous player. But, you know, I mean, we're talking about a back here. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd be really concerned.
Are there reports now that he might go second, though? I mean, that's
More than likely it's going to be Bagley.
No, I swear I saw reports he was going to go second.
And then Donich would be the other guy.
I've seen him, but Donich now, the Hawks seem happy with him at number three. But Scoobs, anytime, I don't know how anybody else is, but anytime I hear back injury,
right,
I always think of chronic injury. I don't know why, but to me, anybody in my life that has back problems, they never go away. So that scares me to death on him. So that's your answer for me. I would stay away from him because I'm scared of a back injury.
But I think he will be good if he's healthy. Really good.
Yeah, just real quick, it's Sam Amick, who covers the NBA for USA Today Sports, that has sources within Sacramento's franchise saying that they have not ruled out Michael Porter Jr., that they are looking past all the red flags because they like his upside.
I agree with you guys. He's kind of a touchy subject. But going on to the college football, Alabama has lost six defensive backs to the National Football League. You know, through the years, it's always been plug and play with Alabama. It's pride and true. It always works out. how concerned are you as a, I guess, an outsider looking in, not with their defense, but dealing with their secondary? Would you say this is one of their most challenging years?
100%. I would say it's the more challenging years on the comfort level of the guys you're putting out there. A lot of talent. You just haven't seen them do it. And I know you're putting people in open holes every year, but never this many at one time. So where's the continuity? Who's the guy that's teaching the new guy how to play back there?
But the flip side of that coin is, don't you feel pretty good about your front seven coming back? And that only helps a green secondary, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen a bad secondary yet under Nick Saban.
I know. I just haven't.
I'm
willing to believe he gets it right.
Right. And you do with the schedule, you have a long time before you get really tested. You look at the schedule on who's going to test them. Louisville, I think, will have some opportunities to score in the first game.
And I think that'll be a good test because I think Juwan Pass will make some plays against this secondary that, you know, it will be kind of it'll be teaching moments for Nick Saban and Tosh LePoy.
But I don't think Louisville's defense can keep up with Alabama.
I would agree. And I think really I think Alabama can outscore you right now.
Yeah, at Ole Miss will be a great test for that secondary against two elite NFL receivers, possibly two first-round receivers. But again, I don't think Ole Miss's defense will be able to keep up with Alabama's offense. And to me, you go all the way down to Missouri before you may get a test on that passing game success against that secondary. And at that point, you're at mid-season, so those guys have a lot of snaps under their belt. So I think the schedule helps out tremendously, and so does the offense.
Yeah, I would agree. Schedule's very favorable. All right, guys, last question. Has the window closed completely, or is it starting to close completely? Will Les Miles ever coach again? I hope you have a good Wednesday.
Well, I don't think he will. Les is, what, 64? 65?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to remember he was coaching last year. I mean, it seems like this will be a full 2 years with him not coaching, but he coached part of last year.
I just think it would have to be a perfect situation.
Big Money Grip writes in on Twitter, after apparently not listening to the first hour of the show. If you're wondering why the USA does so bad in soccer, I point out that the World Cup is in progress, and the subject of note this morning is what NFL teams make the playoffs. Sad state of American interest in such an exciting contest.
That's not true. We talked about Randy Quaid also.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about the Moroccans out on the pitch right now.
We gave you the schedule early on.
I would say the majority of our listeners don't care anything about World Cup.
That's not true. We gave you the headlines earlier in the when the World Cup started. The TV ratings in Birmingham was number five in the country, right?
Yep,
number three in the country.
But I would say more than 50% of our listeners don't care about the World Cup.
I think Lance is probably right.
No, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
But we care.
I mean, we care.
Yeah, we've got money on it.
And I don't like soccer.
To sort of in a nutshell, get into this pretty quickly. Joe Moorhead thinks he can win a championship in Starkville, and he's got a roster to do it this year. So a one-year look at Mississippi State, put him in the Pac-12. Where would Mississippi State, this roster for 1 year, be this season?
Fourth or fifth.
Ooh.
I don't know about that.
I disagree.
Okay, they're not going to be as good as Stanford and Washington. And I still think USC's got more talent.
I think they would win the South.
I don't think that they would knock USC off.
I
could see it.
We always do it this way. USC, Mississippi State, neutral site. Uniform, you're going to take USC with the rosters that they have.
Yeah, two teams in Dallas at Jerry World. What's the number on that game, Lance?
USC would probably be a 5 or 6 point favorite.
Now, we're assuming Nick Fitzgerald is healthy.
Yeah.
That's always a big concern for you.
But a lot of this would be inflated because it is USC, Mississippi State. I'm not saying that USC is a 5 or 6 point I'm not saying they're 5 or 6 points better than Mississippi State. I'm just saying that's where the number would be based on perception. I think they're probably pretty equivalent.
In your power rankings, the number's probably closer to one or two, right?
A healthy Mississippi State quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald, and that roster with Moorhead and his creativity, very close to USC is what you're saying.
Yeah, very close. Okay. But Mississippi State would not win the Pac-12 this year.
What about the Big 12? Where are they in the Big 12?
I think Moorhead would fit in well as an offensive guy in that conference.
I think Fitzgerald. I still would go Oklahoma and Texas, and then I probably they would be right there with TCU and West Virginia.
TCU expected to have a down year this year. TCU, West Virginia, Mississippi State on the same level. Could they be Miami in the in the coastal of the ACC?
I think so. Yep. I think they're right there with Miami.
They could win that division.
Yeah, they're better than the rest of that division. They're better than the Techs, Pittsburgh, Virginia, Duke, and North Carolina.
Yeah, I think it would be Miami, Mississippi State right behind them, really close, then Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech.
I don't think they could win the Big Ten West.
Well, you know, I just pointed out with Brad that Wisconsin catches Michigan and Penn State on the road. That's two really difficult road games for them. So that if you catch those two losses there, even if you lose the head-to-head, I mean, I don't know. It's not crazy to say that they could win the Big Ten West.
So a little scheduling help could
help them. I mean, because of Wisconsin's schedule.
But I think Wisconsin's the better football
team. Yeah, Wisconsin's the better football team.
Yep. I wouldn't disagree with that.
But I would say that next would be Mississippi State, then Northwestern and Iowa.
Yeah.
Josh on Twitter, Mississippi State in the Pac-12, 10-2. Big Ten, 9-3. ACC Coastal, 9-3. SEC West, 8-4.
Now, I'm not going to disagree with that.
Yeah. Let's go to Jordan on the phone. Hey, Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Thank you.
What do you think of Mississippi State this year, man?
Well, man, I heard y'all talking about Joe Moorhead kind of setting the championship expectation. But let's be honest. I mean, as a fan of Mississippi State, would you be buying into that?
If I'm a State fan, heck yeah.
I don't know if I would right now. I mean, I felt a little more comfortable with Mullen. I think Moorhead's a really good offensive mind, but it doesn't necessarily equate to being a really good head coach.
Right. And here's the thing that I kind of look at. You know, this might sound kind of obnoxious to say, I mean, but let's just be honest. You know what I mean? Okay, when you look at if you're a fan of Mississippi State, I mean, look at the past 10 years, the turnover of head coaches in the SEC. I'm not sure what the number is. I would say a small number of those coaches was actual turnover, and the larger number, majority of the coaching changes was firings. And I think that speaks volumes for the expectations here in this conference. But, you know, you can't forget, I mean, that you got Alabama and you got Jimbo Fisher, too, who's got the championship expectation now. Auburn has had the championship expectation, just not been able to finish the deal. But, I mean, honestly, as much as Nick Saban's proven that he can do, am I crazy to think that, you know, if you're a fan of Mississippi State, you kind of just got to settle down and just wait for Nick Saban to retire?
I will tell you, Alabama and Auburn, which is how we started the conversation, sort of is the roadblock to Mississippi State getting to the championship that Moorhead is projecting. That's why we threw him into other conference scenarios.
Still think LSU is going to be a big roadblock. Not this year, once LSU gets it right at coach in the next year or two, they're going to jump right in front of Mississippi State.
Yeah, but this one-year test tube with this roster, it's a big year for Mississippi State, and Moorhead walked into a good situation
for one year. Would you feel better, though, if Mullen was still the coach?
I was about to ask that. What would be your expectation if Mullen were the coach?
A little bit more. I think it's probably a game difference.
But he's a guy that, I mean, he's never done anything at Bryant-Denny Stadium. You got to go there.
How many have?
Well, not many, but I mean, they've never done any. They haven't even been particularly close at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Highly ranked and unbeaten a couple of times and laid an offensive dud.
Yeah, so I mean, I just, you know, I don't have any confidence in Mullen and now Moorhead either, frankly, of going into Bryant-Denny Stadium and doing anything. Again, as B Stone pointed out, they actually played Alabama close last year.
Who lasts longer at their job, Greg Popovich at San Antonio or Bill Belichick at New England?
See, this is interesting because both are dealing with superstar issues right now. Brady, as Stephen A. Smith said yesterday, is sort of stabbing Belichick in the back with this talk of retirement now that Garoppolo's gone.
I disagree with that. That whole...
Well, that's what Stephen A. is.
Yeah, I've heard multiple people say it now. Yeah,
that Brady owes more to the Patriots and Belichick to be hinting about retirement.
I know this is a different... We could take this to a different topic, a different segment. But to me, Brady's been asked about this, about retirement. I mean, he's in his 40s now, so this is just kind of inevitable. And Brady's probably going to hang on another couple of years. You weren't going to be able to retain Garoppolo for 5 years on that roster. It just wasn't going to happen. Anyway, with all that said, I think it's easier to turn things around quickly, obviously, in free agency and basketball.
Oh, in basketball, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I would agree with Lance.
I mean, yeah, if you get the right, group, yeah.
You get two max guys, I mean, you're immediately a contender.
The problem in football is you can't turn it around with free agent quarterbacks. It just doesn't happen enough. I mean, it happens, but not very often. You can go get a great free agent player in basketball pretty easily if you got the money.
So who do you think?
I think Belichick's going to be the
I would say Belichick. I think Popovich.
The wife passed away this year.
Yeah, it just feels like the end for him.
Yep,
especially if he loses quiet.
I think the next year or two, yeah. Pop is done.
Yeah, Belichick was going to be my answer. I thought you were about to take me to Popovich being your answer on the turnaround.
I think it is easier to turn around, but I've just got a feeling that Popovich is almost done.
Second down.
Off of the AL.com article, in your opinion, who is the best Alabama running back not to win the Heisman?
They did a story on the best Alabama running backs not to win the Heisman. Obviously, Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry has it. Who's the guy for you?
I mean, I guess I would go Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
Or we're just going all time.
All time. Not just
maybe Bobby Humphrey then.
Yeah, Bobby Humphrey popped to mind to me first.
Bobby Humphrey was a game changer.
He was. Sean Alexander obviously would have to be in the discussion. I mean, he was a Heisman candidate for a minute, and I think the Tennessee game was kind of where it fell off.
It's hard to separate these guys' NFL careers for whatever reason.
Yeah, because you see him in the NFL. Because
Sean was so good in the NFL. Bobby Humphrey was an average guy in the NFL, and Trent Richardson was a non-victor.
Rushing 1 year with Denver, though, I think.
But I'm just talking about based on the expectation and the longevity. I mean, Sean was so good in the NFL.
Bobby Humphrey's the one that popped to mind. I wouldn't argue Sean, I guess. But you go back to the Bear Bryant days, you had a lot of platooning. You know, and he had a lot of split carries.
Yeah, like Major Ogilvy, he wouldn't get all the carries.
Johnny Musso, who didn't have a great NFL career, was a fantastic running back. But they had so many different runners in the wishbone offense.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Humphrey was the one that jumped out to me.
I think I'll go Rory Turner.
Third down.
All right, who is the next AAC head coach to get a good Power 5 job?
In football. Okay. The next AAC coach to get a good Power 5 job?
I probably would go Mike Norvell in Memphis.
It's usually whoever's coaching Houston, but we don't think Major Applewhite's going to be that guy.
Yeah, I'm not certain about Applewhite. We're friends with Jeff Collins. A good year at Temple could get him out of there. We'd love to see that.
That's a great point. If he goes another bowl game at Temple.
Yeah, I mean, that could be enough to get him out of there.
He seems like an SEC guy. I don't know what SEC job opens up.
Yeah. Kentucky? I mean, could you see a Jeff Collins at Kentucky?
Would Jeff Collins take Vandy?
I don't know.
Probably.
He's got Vandy, but he's in a better conference for a Vandy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's
got some kind of restrictions stuff.
I don't know. That's a great question. Norvell is probably your call from Memphis, though they gave him a really sweet deal to stay at Memphis this year.
They did, and then I saw their win total yesterday, Lance, and that one was lower than I thought it was going to be, too. They were one of those 7.5s.
Well, I think it's kind of a rebuilding year when you lose guys like Anthony Miller and Riley Ferguson. 10-win team last year that could have easily won the AAC, a game that went to double overtime against Central Florida. Josh Heupel's another guy. I mean, if he has a couple of years at Central Florida, he's known as a young offensive mind.
What if Blake Barnett knocks it out of the park at South Florida? I mean, does somebody give Charlie Strong another shot?
I mean, that would be two good years at South Florida. They were 10-2 last year.
I'll still say Norvell.
Yeah.
Fourth down.
I'm going to go.
All right. 9 different college football teams have made the college football playoff. Who is the 10th?
Now, this is always a moving target because, that next team to make the college football playoff, changes. Georgia became that team last year, their first college football playoff. Who is it this year?
I'm going to go Texas. I don't know if Texas is if it's going to be this year. I mean, I could see Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State again.
Yeah, those are teams that have been there.
Yeah, but I'm going to say that Texas will be that team.
I'll say Southern Cal. I think Southern Cal. It's not going to be this year, but I think Southern Cal will be the team to break the glass ceiling next.
What have we done? 4 years of the playoffs?
Uh-huh.
Did you think back in the day we would have gone 4 years and not had USC, Texas, or Notre Dame in this thing yet? That we would have gone, we would have expanded the college football playoff.
Or Florida.
It's crazy some of the teams that haven't been in it, but it's been dominated by Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama.
Has been in every one of them.
They've been in every one of them.
LSU hasn't been in one.
No, I know. There's some surprising teams. I'll take Southern Cal next.
Southern Cal's a good one. Texas.
Well, Auburn still hadn't been in one.
Auburn's close. Wisconsin has been, good enough to be in the conversation.
Michigan hadn't been there. And there's a 10 to 12 really good teams that haven't gotten there.
I'll take Wisconsin. Wisconsin hasn't been there. That is Four Downs, brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tires, two locations right there in Trustville and in Moody. All right, off of that, the first question we asked there on Popovich and Belichick, back to the Belichick thing. When Garoppolo was there, they had their quarterback of the future. I understand what you're saying about Brady doesn't owe Belichick. He's been saying, you know, he hinted yesterday with 45 on it, with the emojis on his Instagram post. 45 is when he's thinking about retiring. If he gives me till 45.
I guess you 4 more years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. But with the Oprah interview, people started to panic, like maybe this was the last year. And if he shut it down after this year, he has put the Patriots in a bad situation.
Yeah, but that's on the Patriots. I mean, look, he said, look, I'm going to play as long as I can play. As long as I'm effective, I'm healthy, then I'm going to continue to play. She asked the question. It's a normal question when you get into your 40s in the NFL. I just don't think there's anything wrong with doing what Tom Brady's doing and what he's saying right now. And again, if he has another productive year, I don't think Tom Brady shuts it down coming off a really productive year.
Like, I need, if I'm the Patriots, they need to go quarterback in this next draft, right? They need to get their next quarterback of the future.
Well, unless you can go out and you can, it never really happens, but if you could find a way to trade for one. I mean, Kirk Cousins went to Minnesota this year. Yeah,
but Brown says it's very rare and hard to find your franchise quarterback, your next Tom Brady through free agency.
I mean, Alex Smith goes to the Redskins. I think, you know, Sam Bradford was good enough. When healthy, he's gone to the Cardinals.
Almost nobody's got two good quarterbacks. So when you get one, you marry them. You don't give them up in free agency.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I mean, who's coming out at quarterback that you could see being the quarterback of the future at New England this upcoming year?
Well, it depends on where they're going to draft. I mean, Herbert's going to go too early.
Well, not if you've got all those draft picks as Belichick does. You end up trading up trying to get your next quarterback.
I think Jake Fromm would be a good future New England Patriot quarterback in the next 3 years.
Mm. The guy, you heard it here first. The guy that replaces Brady could be Jake Fromm at Georgia. All right, NFL free agency. Greg Robinson, the former Auburn player, got picked up by Cleveland yesterday. He has started 48 of his 52 games in the NFL. Top free agents remaining out there. Trey Boston, who's apparently a pretty good safety with the Chargers, he's still out there. Safety's, in fact, all over the place. Tavon Branch is out there as well as a safety. Kenny Vaccaro, 27-year-old New Orleans Saint safety, is out there right now. Surprising, all those safeties. DeMarco Murray, oh, I forgot, Eric Reed is out there. Eric Reed, the
former
San Francisco
LSU player, yeah.
Well, a lot of people believe that's political. And why he's still out there, because, you know, he was one of the big supporters of kneeling.
Yeah, with Kaepernick, right?
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's got Eric Reed yet. So you have those four safeties. DeMarco Murray, the 30-year-old running back who is leaving the Titans, he's out there. Dez Bryant, the wide receiver, is out there from the Cowboys.
I'm shocked Dez Bryant's out there. I really am, because that could be a really, really good second or third option for a team.
But does it say the Cowboys made the right call if this guy, I mean, anybody's had a chance to pick him up?
We just went through the Cowboys receiving.
I know, but look,
options this year.
31 other NFL teams don't want Dez Bryant right now either, do they?
Apparently not.
What about DeMarco Murray at age 30? I mean, he had a pretty good year last year with the Titans. I thought he and Derrick Henry work really well together. It's going to be interesting to see what Henry's able to do without DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, it just seems like that 30 mark scares a lot of people when it comes to running backs. I mean, that is the year that everyone talks about. You start to see the major decline.
Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie out there as well, the 32-year-old defensive back that was with the Giants. So some free agents, big names that are still waiting to be picked up in the NFL as we wait for the July camps to crank up. Fun show today.
I'm looking here real quick. Vinatieri, you know how old he is?
Vinatieri, I'd say 37.
I would not have guessed until I saw it.
He is 45, Brown, going into his 23rd season, and he was asked how long he's going to play, and he said he's got a long shelf life. The record is George Bland at 48. Do you guys think Vinatieri will surpass 48?
Yes.
If you'd have said Bland, I would have said 51.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah. He played quarterback two ways for a while. Yeah. Getaway song.
I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.